out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki. In this podcast, I'll be sharing some of the things that I've learned over the last few decades as a guitar player, as a composer, as a band leader and a sideman, as a researcher and student of music, and sharing strategies for practicing, improving your craft, and being a creative person in the modern world. These podcast episodes are audio versions of videos that I've been making over on Patreon for some time. So if you like what you hear, come on over to Patreon, Work with Miles Okazaki, and for the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can join into the community there, ask questions, get responses, make requests for new types of episodes, download special materials that I've posted, such as free books that I've written, exercises, computer programs that I've built, all kinds of things like that. And also, there are episodes that are primarily visual that are only posted there, such as specific technical studies on the guitar that require you to see what I'm doing, and things like sight reading. So, that being said, please enjoy, and best of luck on your musical journey. Talk a little bit today about a song from Thelonious Monk's Underground record. Underground is recorded in 1967, released in 1968. A lot of people will know it from the cover, classic cover with Monk in a basement with a bunch of stuff around him, like a bunch of military kind of things, like a guerrilla fighter, and has a tied up enemy in the room, and has a machine gun and a bottle of wine. Very classic cover, sitting at the piano. One of the songs on there is a blues called Raise Four. So it's just a kind of a riff blues. Let's see, did I forget to bring a guitar pick down here? Maybe I don't need one. All right, I'm not going to use a pick. So. Just keeps going, so it all sounds the same unless I put some kind of a context. So it's just the blues with that riff going over it. And then Monk, he kind of emphasizes certain notes in the left hand that are interesting, that I ended up using that as kind of the focus of the way that I play it. So he's more like up here. And he puts the A-flat there in the left hand, which is the... if you're playing the blues in B-flat, which all of Monk's blueses are in B-flat, if you play the blues in B-flat, you have that A-flat as the flat seventh. And D flat on the bass. So again, playing the flat seven of the four chord. So, you know, actually, I'm going to play it down here. It's a little easier on the guitar, sounds better. So I'm going to play it down an octave. So. So the five chord, that F7, he puts, instead of putting flat seven, he puts the third in the bass. Not really in the bass, because he's playing, there's the bass there and all, but in the left hand is a kind of emphasized note. He's playing that A natural. Right? So if I play this as just the riff plus those notes, it ends up with these kind of strange chords. Sorry, I didn't go to the four chord. One, two, three, four. I mean, what is this? I'm playing A flat, F, B flat, E. You know, raised four, I guess, is probably in reference to this E natural, which is the raised fourth off of B flat, right? But he just keeps it there, even on the E and all that. E flat, he still has the E natural on the top. So, I mean, this is kind of like, sounds like a B flat with an A flat in the bass, but then it has this E. You know what this is? Interval chord. There's four of these actually that exist. I have a book called Fundamentals of Guitar that actually talks about these, but this is one of them. If you take these notes, A flat, F, B flat, and E, and kind of compress them down to their smallest form, you could fit them all within a tritone. E to F, A flat, B. That's the smallest, like root position type of thing. Like if we had a triad, for example, this versus this versus this, the smallest one is this one. That fits in a fifth, right? This is, I'm playing a D major for no particular reason. This is a minor sixth, right? And then this is a major sixth. So there's only one root position for that, and in this one, the root position would be, and it's an all interval chord, which is kind of a special type of chord. What does that mean? Well, what it means is that within those four notes, between any two, you can always find all of the intervals from a semitone all the way up to an octave between some two notes of that structure. So like, for example, there's a half step here between the E and the F. There's a whole step between the A flat and the B flat. There's a minor third between the F and the A flat. There's a major third between the E and the A flat or G sharp. There's a perfect fourth between the F and the B flat. There's a tritone between the E and the B flat. And there's a minor sixth. After the tritone comes a perfect fifth. Perfect fifth between B flat and F, right? And then a minor sixth is just everything is just going to be the inverse of the things we already found before. So where we had the major third between E and G sharp, we're going to have minor sixth between G sharp and E, right? We'll have a major sixth between F and A. Between F and A flat, right? F and A flat, right? Then I'll have a minor seventh between B flat and A flat. It's kind of like I have A flat, B flat in the bottom and A flat on the top. And a major seventh between the E and the F. So all the intervals are in there. The interesting thing about those chords is they sound quite a bit different, you know, depending on how you do the voicing and stuff like that. Let's see, do I have a copy of the book around here? Well, I'll post a link to the book in the on the notes, and you can see the page that has all interval stuff on it. Anyways, that's kind of not related, but it is an interesting thing that comes up. So now, this fingering I'm using, this picking pattern, I'm kind of using these three fingers. I'm using this thumb for the bass. Thing about it is it's okay, but I'm tempted to put the thumb on it because I can get much more kind of a snap to it and much more rhythmic kind of drive to it. Of course, then I can't get my bass note, so maybe instead of going, I'll put the bass note in one of the spaces. Here I'm putting it on four. Now that's also not great because I have to go real fast. So maybe I'll put it on the and of three. That's kind of cool. I like that. That's kind of a fun little groove. So that's what I ended up doing, and then just messing around with that rhythmically, you know. So it's kind of an abstract treatment of this song. Maybe instead of putting the hi-hat on, I want to play it fast. So instead of playing a hi-hat on two and four, I'll just feel it on one. Try different. I'm still keeping the form, but I'm kind of expanding or contracting the phrase and adding some other things in there and letting it kind of turn around on the beat. Like one, two, three, four. Something. So that's just a fun little exercise using this thing with three fingers on the right hand, and just keeping this that one little riff in the top and messing around with the bass notes. So you can check out the version of that I did on the record, which is very similar. I think I also did kind of some stuff where I just played percussively. I'm just muting with the left hand there. So that's kind of fun. All right, see you soon. Well, that's it for today's episode. Thanks for hanging out. And if you'd like to see a video version, head on over to patreon.com and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you sign up through the browser, it's a very minimal fee because I'm trying to create a large community of guitar players and other musicians. If you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more, but in any case, over there you'll find all of these podcasts in video form, as well as many that are not included here. Guided practice sessions, listening sessions through favorite albums, discussions of repertoire, technical things on the guitar, philosophical things about creativity and making music. So thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your support of creative music.